Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. What's the most, what's the most common question we get? That's not a fair question, but we do get a series of questions that we get asked about a lot. And one of them is, when do I take my CPP and OAS?
One of the biggest questions, I think, you know, when you look at three kind of parts to this. One, people are wondering about the different sources of income they're going to have in retirement. One of them is the Canadian pension plan, if they're eligible. Another one is the old age security, if they're eligible. And they say, when can I take it? How early can I take it?
Yeah.
What's the impact of that? Should I delay it? And will it still be there? Because if I delay it, will it still be there? Or I'm going to die too soon, so I'm not going to enjoy all of it.
Yeah, I want to maximize the amount I get.
Right, so those are the kind of questions we get. And so let's have a discussion about this, Dave. Let's talk about, you know, how retirees or retirement investors should be looking at the entire bucket of income. One component is the guaranteed sources of income through CPP and OAS, and when should we be taking it?
Right. So we've got a terrific guest that's going to help us try to break this down a little bit. Antoine Genet Gregoire is a senior research associate at the University of Sherbrooke. He's also participated and conducted a study with the C.D. Howe Institute on this. Antoine, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So you heard our little preamble there. Let's talk a little bit about would people in retirement, you know, benefit from being able to defer CPP and OAS for longer. So maybe just give us a bit of the thought process as you're analyzing this, and then we can talk about some of the conclusions and conditions for deferrals.
Well, the point from which we started was that looking around us and speaking with people about retirement, we see that a lot of people will tend to ask for their pension, their CPP pension, the earliest they can, and their OAS the earliest that they can get it, in order to maximize, as you said, what they estimate that they will get from the programs over their retirement and their lifetime. Actually, both the CPP and the OAS are relatively flexible programs, so you don't have to take your CPP at 60, and you don't have to ask for your OAS at 65. Both of them can be deferred, so the CPP can be taken from any age between 60 and 70, and the OAS from any age from 65 to 70, and that changes the amount that people receive. So asking for your CPP at the earliest age, at 60, makes the amount you receive monthly about 36% lower. And on the other hand, if you take it at 70, the amount is 42% higher. So in total, if the difference between taking everything the earliest you can and deferring to the maximum that you can is about doubling what you'll receive from both of those public programs. So that's something we thought that, well, most people don't realize or don't use to the full extent. There's a very small minority of both CPP and QPP beneficiaries that demand their pension after 65. So what we wanted to show was that there are big advantages if you have the money to defer your pension. Well, you can have a bigger public pension that's guaranteed for life after your deferral.
So in your research report, did I understand it correctly that one of the ideas that you may have is pushing that deferral to as far as 75?
That's one of the options that we propose. The logic behind that was that deferral is useful to get a higher public pension that's guaranteed. And, well, everyone's going to get higher public pensions now that we're enacting a reform to both the CPP and QPP, which is going to make the coverage higher. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are going to get, well, people who take their retirement in about 40 years when the full reform is implemented will have bigger public pensions. But there are people right now who could benefit from deferring further than 70. And pushing the deferral maximum age to 75 is something that we could do right now to enable the retirees of today to get bigger public pensions, both from the OAS or the CPP. So that's kind of a stopgap proposition until the full reform of the CPP is put into place. What we've done in the research is simulate typical retirees, and what we see is that today full deferral doubles doubles the public pension that you receive, but it's not enough to completely cover what is an average replacement rate for retirees. When the full CPP reform is going to be put in place, people who defer from 65 to 70 will almost get 60% of their working income replaced entirely by public programs. So they're, in a way, protected against the risk of, market risk, if their savings loses in value, or longevity risk, which is the risk of running out of your retirement. So that's something that's going to be possible, but only once the CPP has been reformed. So what we're offering is an option that gives people also that option to be completely covered by public pension, but only if they defer to 75 years old. So that's something that we can do right now.
So Antoine, let's talk about, for people that are listening right now, and there's confusion about who should defer. So walk us through maybe the decision criteria. So if you're sitting there and you're listening to your radio right now and you're thinking, geez, yeah, I'm really struggling with whether I should take it at 60 or 70, or even if it, you know, reformed 75 at some point. What should somebody be thinking about to figure out whether or not it's going to benefit? Who benefits from the deferral?
Well, deferring is a strategy that you can have if you have an important lump sum that you can use to live off during the years that you're retired, but you don't yet get your pension. So you need to have disposable income to cover your needs completely with your savings during those years. Right. So if you have, for example, a defined benefit plan from your employer, it's not really that great an option because your employer already offers a pension that's guaranteed. You don't need the public guarantee that much. But if your employer has a defined contribution plan, so what you get when you retire is a lump sum amount, then what we're proposing is using, instead of drawing down that amount small bit by small bit until, well, you hope you still have enough until the day that you pass away, well, you draw it down much faster during the first years of your retirement, and in exchange for the next year, you get bigger pension payment. So the first criteria is having that kind of money to draw down fast in the first year. The other question is how long do you believe you're going to live?
Yeah.
Having a guaranteed pension is not really useful if, well, you're really sick or such. People tend to underestimate their longevity, but of course there are situations where it's pretty obvious that if you already have big health problems at the end of your career, well, sadly the odds are, well, they're not that great that you're going to reach 94 years old, for instance. But if you're in okay shape, you're probably going to live longer than you think. So for most people who are in good shape, the guarantee that comes with public pension and deferral in that case is usually pretty worthwhile. Generally speaking, women tend to live longer than men as well, so women usually gain more from the guarantee as well because they're going to live on average a few years longer than men.
Okay, it's a, you know, if you're listening, it's a complicated decision. It's a case-by-case decision.
It's
right?
Not a cookie-cutter, one-size-fits-all for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. There's issues around savings, and do you have enough? If there's issues around legacy, if I use my savings up and in support of that and defer taking it later, that might have an impact on your overall goals.
How will that impact your health bucket if you need care for the long term? Also, when you're looking at that, what's the tax implications? Because one of the biggest issues by deferring your CPP and OAS is now you have higher income in those years because of those two items. And then you might have an RSP, which converts into a RIF or a RIF withdrawal. Now you have even more income coming out for those high net worth individuals. And when you have that kind of money, that old age security clawback kicks in, and that really gets people upset. So it's a whole bunch of moving parts. It's not a one size fits all. So I think the message here also is make sure you get the advice on this. Yep. Make sure you get a proper plan in place with the proper math behind it so you can make those decisions.
Because my head hurts just listening to you. Antoine, I want to thank you very much for spending some time and sharing that research with us.
It's been a pleasure.
Okay, we've been joined by Antoine Genet. Gregory is a senior research associate at University of Sherbrooke and done a study with the C.D. Howe Institute on this, and it is a complicated issue. But we're going to talk about lifestyle. at our upcoming seminar, and we're going to talk about sources of income and taxation and all of those kinds of things.
How do you protect your income over the long term is very important. How do you make sure you profit and protect in markets without running out of money? We'll show you our strategy called the Four Buckets or the Asset Dedication Strategy on Tuesday, July 24th, 7 p.m. at the Crowfoot Co-op Wine and Spirits. Now you need to reserve your seats, so give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400, or register online by going to the website morethanmoneyradio.com.
Okay, join us after the break. We're going to try to sum it all up for you today and pull it all together. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.